Hey, we're talking with Peter Marsh, the headmaster at Trinitas Classical School in Grand Rapids. Thank you for your time today. I would like to maybe start by having you describe for us what you really mean by the term classical education and how your school would be different from what any other school might offer.
Well, thank you, Lori, for the opportunity and for asking these questions, important questions to be asked in our day. The term classical education refers to a time-tested method of training children in a threefold way, three stages in classical education, the first being the grammar stage, the second the logic or dialectic stage, and finally the rhetoric stage. The three stages take advantage of the natural propensity or tendency of children at the various ages, such that during the grammar stage, when children are younger and they have a natural capacity as sponges, as it were, to absorb tremendous amounts of information and to retain that. During those years, we pump them full of information, facts, people, places, events, grammar of history and such, grammar of mathematics, the multiplication tables, and other operations. During the logic stage, which is really around ages or grades 5 through 8, the children have more of a tendency to argue naturally, and so we begin to take advantage of that and fit them with the tools proper to arguing and recognizing fallacies and avoiding them. And finally, in the rhetoric stage, to be able to take an argument and articulate their own perspective eloquently, intelligently, and speak to the question such that, for example, in history, in the grammar stage, they'll study the events surrounding World War II. In the logic stage, they would read primary sources and learn from the speeches and whatnot that are made during that era. And then finally, in the rhetoric stage, be able to articulate their own position on certain events, perhaps the use of nuclear weapons, things like that. So at Trinitas, that content might be different in terms of learning things like logic or also Latin at a very young age, and now we hope to add Greek this next year. But it is more than just content. It reaches out finally into the questions that are asked so that we're not just talking about technical knowledge, but finally the ability to cultivate the human spirit in the student, to recognize what is good, to serve it above themselves, to reproduce it in their own lives, and to recognize that with all of the knowledge that they're gaining comes a certain responsibility to themselves, to history, to the future.
Okay. So on a day-to-day basis, then, how would a child's experience at Trinitas be different from another school right in your neighborhood, say?
Perhaps
the child would notice that much, or more that the teachers and the parents would be aware that this underlying philosophy.
It's probably something that the children notice more in terms of subtleties. Classical education is very literature intensive, and even in the things that are read, there's a great deal of discernment to make sure that what is read, what is studied, is something that's worthy of imitation and something that's worthily composed, so that not just the subject matter but even the style is something worthy of imitation. So there's probably a great deal more literature in a classical schoolroom than there is in an ordinary schoolroom, where you perhaps have more video and things of that nature. That might be what sticks out in my mind from the student's perspective. From the parents' and teachers' perspective, there's a focus in classical education more on the mastery of the content on the teacher's part than there is attention to various methods. The understanding in the classical mind being that once a teacher has mastered a certain subject in certain areas, they can communicate in a variety of ways to students of all different learning styles.
I see. All right. Well, your literature names Benjamin Franklin and C.S. Lewis as examples of people who received a classical education. What is the history of this method of teaching?
Well, it really reaches back to beyond the Romans to the ancient Greeks, and I mean this was the method of dialogue. So your great teachers of Plato and the figure of Socrates and the dialogue with which his students are engaged as they are asking difficult questions, or many times as he is proposing difficult questions to them with which they have to then grapple. So there's a great deal of dialogue that occurs there in the classical classroom as well. So it reaches there, and really classical education spanned the centuries until about the 1960s, where, now in classical education, children were taught through those centuries how to think, the tools with which to approach various subjects so that they could then master them themselves rather than just being taught what to think.
Well, would you say it did something prompt it to fall out of favor? Or other newer ideas came along? Is it hard to actually find a classical school today?
One of the biggest proponents of kind of the progressive thought that's popular in many schools now, both public and private, is the progressive thought of John Dewey. Mm-hmm. In terms of finding classical schools now, it was actually around the 1960s over at Oxford that there was some discussion raised about some concern raised about the growing media and propaganda to which children were exposed and then found to be very vulnerable, susceptible to its influence without being able to discern. And so from that was really born a renaissance in which you find many schools now over the nation, not just a few here or there, that are readopting this old and time-tested method of teaching.
I see. All right. Well, here in Michigan, in addition to being a classical school, you sort of stand out as being one of the few new private schools to begin in the state. So what would you say has been the most difficult part as you approach the end of your first year? And do you plan any major changes for next year?
Well, probably our biggest challenge this year, with such a desire for this type of education in this area of Michigan, we've tried to find and maintain a fairly centralized location in the Grand Rapids area, because we have families that come from north, south, east, and west of the greater Grand Rapids area and make quite a drive. So we try to be as accessible as possible in terms of our location. So that's probably been one of the biggest challenges this year. In terms of changing things for next year, there are no major changes on the horizon for us, other than continually refining and perfecting what we've begun, other than perhaps adding Greek to our curriculum next year so that children will be exposed not just to Latin and the Western language and Western way of thinking, culture, and whatnot, but also to that of the East.
Mm. All right. Last question here. My understanding is that you also work with homeschool families in the Grand Rapids area who would like to use this method of teaching in their own homes. How does that work?
We found that, and it seems to be growing, the number of homeschooling families in this area, especially in Kent County and the surrounding counties, that amongst this growing number of families, those who have an interest in classical methodology or just an interest in some sort of support and like what they're seeing at Trinitas, that they tend to have certain areas that they desire support in common. Usually, most often, Latin, science, logic, perhaps music and art. And sometimes this is out of a desire for some teaching support. Maybe they're not comfortable teaching Latin in their home, things like that. Or perhaps this is out of a desire to provide their student with more experiences that they could find where there are greater resources, such as classroom laboratory experiences in science and things of that sort.
All right. All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time today. Let me just say for people listening that you can find out more about the school at www.trinitasclassical.org. And Peter, thank you again, and best wishes for the end of your year.
And thank you, Lori, very much.
Okay. Goodbye.